Your Bibles this morning, would you please open them to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Later today, we're going to be having a gift exchange. If you didn't bring a gift, you're still welcome to come. Just pretend that I don't want to go there. But you're welcome to come. I want to title this, The First Gift Exchange. Because at Christmas, there was a gift exchange. We heard in Sunday school how the three men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm sure they didn't look at it that day as a gift exchange. But God, as Jesus told Nicodemus, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, and He is not here to condemn you today, but God is here to give you life. Matthew chapter 2, and I want us to focus on verse 11. This is what is called the three wise men from afar. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. I believe, I would like to say, that is the first gift exchange. Last week I did minister on mercy, that it is one of the messages that Christmas brings. Five times mercy is mentioned in the story of Christmas. And surely Christmas can mean many things to many of you. It warms our hearts. I've had my share of Christmas messages, and there are going to be thousands upon thousands of Christmas messages today across our country. I'm sure that they're all different, and the Holy Spirit knows the needs of the congregation, and prayerfully and hopefully the minister has prayed and has sought the Lord, and he steps into the pulpit with his heart warmed up and his mind renewed and is bringing a message that perhaps weaves around Christmas but is really dealing with the hearts of people. There's going to be all kinds of messages given. I thought back of all the Christmas sermons I've had, and they're all different. And today is different because each day is different. Even though it's another day, there are things that will be unique about it. And I pray that you will be able to enjoy it. As I mentioned, I believe this is one of the first Christmas exchanges there was, gift exchange. And we're going to have that. But as I really began to seek the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to bring? The Lord began to impress upon my heart the subject of relationships, of having relationship not only with God, but also with one another. The real reason God made man, I've often heard it said that God made man to fellowship. Now that is true, but that is not his primary function. His primary function was he made him to glorify God. And our purpose is to glorify God. Now in glorifying God, there is within that a relationship that is birthed, and out of that relationship can come from our hearts our desire to glorify God and to bring Him. And when God made man, yes, one of the reasons He made man in the very beginning was to have fellowship. And we often, when we examine the relationship with Adam and Eve, generally most of our attention goes to after the fall. And we seldom put much thought and meditation about what it was like before the fall and before Satan tempted Adam and Eve and they rebelled against God and did not keep his commandment. But have you ever given much thought about what it was like before the fall? The fellowship that God had with Adam and let alone with Eve. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, it gives us a little bit of some thought that we can build upon. Genesis 2:15 says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it." So that tells me that man, as many people think, that I've heard it said, God reached down and took the dirt out of the garden and made man. That's not biblically correct. God made Adam outside of the garden, which is a type of the world, and put him into the garden. But let's just really get worked up and fight over that is how many angels you can put upon the head of a needle. But a little point of thinking. So there's some time that has elapsed. We don't know how long, but I know that it wasn't something real quick. We also know that before the fall, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, and this is before, I believe, Eve has been brought into the scene. It says, "And God brought unto Adam to see what he would call them." That is, all of the animals. And so in this relationship and this fellowship, really grabs my attention. I don't understand it, but here is God. It reminds me of the time that God was looking down to see whether Moses would turn aside and check out the burning bush. And it says, when Moses turned aside to see the burning bush, that God spoke. And here, God is watching to see, as he brings the animals by, "Adam, I want you to name them." And God gave Adam a great mind. And as he brings them by, he just wants to know what Adam will call them. That took some time. It doesn't say this, but I can see the giraffe come by and didn't have a name then, but what do you call this one? Call it a giraffe. That's a good name. We don't know that, but we know that all the animals were brought by. And so how they must have communed and fellowshiped about that. We find that in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, that something terrible has happened to the relationship. Because we find that they did sin, and now this relationship is damaged because of the sin. And we read in Genesis 3:8, "And they," speaking of Adam and Eve, "heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." How do you hide yourself from the presence of the Lord? I'm not so sure they were successful because God is everywhere. And yet that was their desire. It was like I preached on Jonah. It was last week. That even though Jonah, when he didn't want to obey God, he tried to go where the presence of the Lord was not. And uses that same language. But here is Adam and Eve wanting to hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. I find that interesting. Why would you want to do that when God had been so good to them? But sin does destroy relationships. We're going to look at the relationship a little bit later in the message. But right now I want us to, if we could, draw our attention, if you would help me to, let's look at our relationships with one another. Did you know that God will bless you through your relationships? That he will pour out his favor on you by using people in your life. God can bring people into your life, and those relationships are often for the purpose to bring a blessing to you. We sometimes quote that scripture in Luke, "Give and it shall be given unto thee, pressed down, shaking together." And then it says, God will cause men to give into your heart a blessing. And there is one of the blessings of a relationship. God will use people in your life to bless you. And as you are beginning to think about the different ones that you know today and the relationships and to the varying degrees that you have with them, God will use your friends. He'll use family. He'll use co-workers. He'll even use your spouse. In fact, it says in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 22, he who finds a wife, and then it goes on and says, receives favor from the Lord. Men, do you realize that your wife is bringing you favor from the Lord? My wife said to me a few years ago, don't you forget that. But we should be thankful for our relationships and not take our loved ones for granted. And we should do our best to seek peace in those relationships and love. And when you read the Bible, as Brother Jim said, it's a big Bible. And it has so many stories. Many of the stories talk about relationships. Whether it was a relationship that brought favor, or whether it was a relationship that wasn't maintained to the degree that it brought heartache within it. But one of the ways that we can show love is by giving others room to make mistakes. Last week I preached on God's mercy. His mercy gives you room to make mistakes. And you can show your love towards these people that you have relationships if you will also extend mercy and make room for their mistakes and love. You know, the Bible says, ladies, that in 1 Peter, it says that you're to enjoy your husband. It doesn't say that you're to remodel your husband. There's a program on TV about remodeling these certain rooms or homes, but it doesn't say that the wife is to remodel the man. It doesn't say that you're to try to change him or make him fit your mold. No, you let him be who God made him to be. And would you rather, if I could bring it to your heart in this thought this morning, learn to enjoy him? Now, he may have his weaknesses, and he may do things that you don't particularly care for. But can I advise a little bit of wisdom? Try not to focus on his shortcomings, but rather to try to focus on the strong points in him and on his good qualities. Don't fall into the trap of comparing your husband, or husbands, don't fall into the trap of comparing your wife with somebody else's wife or husband. Let me use the husband as I started off with, and this could be used as the wife as well. Well, my husband never brings me flowers like Linda's husband does. You know, they go out and have a candlelight dinner every week. I can't remember when my husband brought me flowers. No, can I suggest don't focus on that and don't compare what he doesn't line up with others, but rather focus on some good things, and I assure you there are those that you can focus on. And if you're single today, you can be thankful that you do have a perfect Lord, and one who has promised never to leave you nor forsake you, and he can provide you a companion if you so desire, and that be your heart's desire, and he can do it in his time, and if you so desire. Speaking of how God can provide a wife, my daughter this past week, Tawny, who lives in Spain, let me give you a little background. She came here shortly after Julian was born. If you remember, she was on the back row and I wanted to hold him. She said no and took off. She was a true mother. And we've watched this relationship grow over the years. I have one grandchild in Spain, Julian, and I have another one that we're going to visit this week, Brocky, who lives in Arizona. So my daughter, Tawny, writes me this email, and she entitled it, "I Love This Age." And here's what she wrote. By the way, I did ask her permission if I could tell it, and if I do refer to you, I try to check with that first, unless the Holy Spirit leads me. And then, it's like C.M. Ward one time was challenged, and they said, "Brother C.M., we hear that you have been speaking bad things about the Assembly of God." And he said, they brought him in, and he said, "I haven't either." And he said, "Yeah, you have." And he disagreed and said no. And they said, "Well, we have it on tape." And they played the tape. And Brother C.M. Ward said, "Why, it's amazing what a man will say under the anointing of God." Back to where I was starting, here's what Tawny said. "I love this age. Hi. So I was holding Julian. Now he's 5 years old. And I told him I didn't want him to grow up because I wanted him to stay my little boy forever. We've joked about this before, and he's always told me he wants to get big. But this time, he started weeping and crying. I don't want to grow up either. And now, almost hysterical, 'What's wrong, Julian? Why are you crying?' I asked. 'Because then I'm not going to see you anymore.' 'Of course you will. Why wouldn't you see me anymore?' 'Doesn't Papa see his mom and dad?' 'Yes, but I'll be in another country like Madrid.'" Now, Madrid is 30 miles away from where they live, and it's not another country, but in his mind, it's another country. And Tawny said, "Madrid is in Spain, honey. But why wouldn't you want to go there?" "Because I want to be in another country." "Well, you can be in any country you want. You want to be in Spain? You could be in Spain. You want to be in America? You can be in America. And you can come visit me." "I can?" Now wiping the tears away from his eyes, "Yes, you can. And you'll come visit me?" "Why, yes, Julian. I sure will." "Where do you want to go?" "Well, I want to be in America." "Okay, why do you want to live in America?" He said, "Because that's where my cousin Brocky lives." "Okay." And then Julian asked, "Well, how will I have a house?" "Well, you're going to work hard in school, and you're going to get a good job and earn some money, and then you can get your house." And then Julian says, "Well, where am I going to live before I get the house?" And she says, "You'll probably rent from someone that has a house that isn't yours." And then he said this, "And how will I have a mama?" And Tawny says, "Well, I'm your mama, Julian." He said, "No, I mean, how will I have a mama when I'm a papa?" And she says, "Oh, you mean how will you have a wife when you're a papa?" "Yeah. Well, you know how you'll have a wife? You pray to God, and he brings you someone. And then you love them, and you take care of them as good as you can." And then we prayed. And afterward, we prayed that God would help him not to worry. And we prayed that God would have a wife for him when he's older and have a place to live. And Tawny concluded and said, "I learn more from Julian sometimes in answering his questions than trying to find the answers for myself." And I thought, that is true. God will lead you into the relationships you're to have. And but if you're not married, let me say that he can guide you to one. But if you are married, let me say, don't let the little things build up. Don't let resentment creep in. Because before long, resentment and bitterness will bring in strife and division. And it can make either you or your spouse hard to be around. But instead, I challenge you to find something good in that person. One great quality about your wife or about your husband, and then begin to magnify that good quality. Your husband may not be the most romantic man. He may not be the best communicator, and he may lack here and lack there, But maybe he's a hard worker. Maybe he provides a great living. So why don't you start telling him, I appreciate you being such a great provider for our family. Because if you will magnify the good, not only will you be happier, but you'll see that man come up higher in other areas. Maybe your husband doesn't go to church. I remember my mother. It grieved her about my father not going to church. And you've tried and tried to get him to church, but he's not interested. Can I suggest, don't nag him. Don't beg him. Just love the man. I've seen many ladies push their husbands away on using scriptures and trying to win him and preaching to him. I've seen them leaving tracts in their lunchbox when they get to lunch and these little ways and to try to bring them, but preaching a sermon or telling him what he's doing wrong. But really, I believe a better approach is to bring your husband and to make him be your best friend and to where you're fun to be around and just love him. And that's going to draw him in quicker than putting pressure upon him. The story is told of the wind that got together with the sun, and they debated on who could remove the jacket off of the man that was walking. And the wind says, oh, I could remove that jacket better than you could. And so the wind went first, and it blew and blew upon that man that had a jacket. And the more the wind blew, the more the man grabbed the jacket to hold on to it. And then the sun tried, and the sun simply just shined his warmth. And his warmth, eventually the man took his jacket off. And if we will learn and to focus on those qualities, you'll be surprised of how much better the relationship can be. Ultimately, each of us has the responsibility to treat our spouse, whether it be husband or wife, with respect and honor. Don't take people for granted in your life. Magnify the good. Choose to forgive. And watch how God will pour out his favor through you, through your relationships. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13 says this, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called. I was so blessed to see this past week. Let me bring you up to date. I love the little conversations I get to have with the children occasionally when they come up. They're never planned, but it was about maybe a week or two ago. I got to talk to little Claire. I was hoping she'd be here, but I was talking to Claire, and I said to Claire, she was drawing something, and I said, Claire, would you draw me a duck? And she said, well, I don't have a crayon to make a duck. I said, well, there's an orange crayon. And so I was sparring with her and just trying to have some good fun when that was the end of that. And I think she did draw one and showed it to me. And I said, oh, that's great. Thank you for the duck. Well, this past week, I come in to the church. And as you know, my office is upstairs. And I look on the steps. And there's these. And I didn't know till this morning. I'm really slow at understanding some things. There's these. How many have ever seen those big popsicle sticks? But they're bigger than the kind the doctor uses to put it in your mouth. And so I see them. And they're shaped like an arrow. Well, I didn't find out to this morning that those are duck's feet, but I thought they were arrows. So at least I got that. And I thought, well, who did this? And I'm thinking, I'll bet one of the kids did. And as I follow these duck's steps up, at the top, there's this duck. And I thought, well, that was nice. One of the kids did. It didn't even dawn on me. It was Claire. And so the next day I come in and I thought, I don't want to leave that because I just think that's neat. How many like to keep things for little treasure keepsakes? That thing will be there for a year if I don't do something. But as I went by the next day, I thought, well, that was nice. That was nice. I wonder who did that. And then it took about the third day for me to finally the light to turn on. How many know men can be really slow at times? Don't magnify on our slowness. Magnify on other things. But it dawned on me, I stopped writing, I said, well, that was Claire. Oh, Claire, you made me a duck. Isn't it amazing how the little joys in life can bring so much fun? And so I went home and I said, honey, guess what? Claire made me and brought me a duck. And yeah, it doesn't make much to make our pastor happy. But I say that because it helps establish a relationship. And relationships are the best thing you're going to find in life. It's one of the true blessings and true riches in life. It warmed my heart. But when it comes to this subject of relationship that the Lord wants us to build on, I must bring other aspects from the Bible, especially when I feel the Holy Spirit lead me in them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts character. Do you ever get around a certain person and you feel an uneasiness and an unrest, and something inside says, you should stay away, you should avoid that? Those aren't just bad vibes. That can often be the Holy Spirit trying to warn you. I remember as a child, my parents warning me against certain relationships of other kids in the neighborhood. I'm not going to mention them because one day I'm going to be real famous worldwide. And somebody's going to listen to this and they're going to hear me mention their name and they're going to sue me. So I'm not going to do that. But my parents warned me. I look back and I realize they would have been a bad influence upon me. And you might say, well, Brother Connor, if I don't hang around them, then I'm not going to have any friends. No, the truth is God will bring new friends into your life. He'll give you better friends. And the key is this. If you don't let go of wrong people that bring you down, the right people won't show up. And this is not talking about a relationship that's already been committed, say perhaps in a marriage. I'm talking about relationships outside of the marriage. You see, God doesn't force us to let go of things in our life. God doesn't force us to do things. He's given us a free will. But you'll notice, before God brought Abraham into the great blessings, he had him and his father leave the land of the Chaldees. And the reason is because there were bad relationships there. There was bad, sinful things going on. And therefore, God brought him out of bad relationships in order to give him new relationships. And God will do that. God doesn't force us to let go of wrong things in our life. He's given us a free will. But when God asks you to give something up, maybe the Lord's been dealing with you about giving something up. He's never trying to take something away. He's trying to get something better and take its place, but you've got to make room for it by letting that part go so he can put something better in its place. And as we obey him and we mature, it will open the door for greater blessings and favor in our life. Remember, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. So let go of friends or influences that you know are dragging you down. Let go of bad habits that you know are dragging you down. And learn to trust God that he will bring the right people and the right connections across your path. The Bible says the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. So let go of these wrong things and move forward in the blessing that God has prepared for you. The Bible says to, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, something else I want to say about relationships. If you've had a relationship and it's been damaged, and you know it's not as strong as it was, God can heal that relationship. I've often wondered, how do you get two good men, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, that love God, to have a blow up where the Bible says there was strong contention. But the Bible says that happened between Paul and Barnabas. It doesn't go into all the depths of, I'm sure each one was different. Doesn't make one right, one wrong, but we have a sad situation of both of them that preached love, and yet now there's strong contention. The relationship is hurt. It doesn't even tell how it got healed. But I believe the scriptures can show us in other ways. They just both continued to live for God. And if you'll continue to live for God, I'm not trying to give you a formula today, but if you're here and if you've had a severing of a relationship, you know it in your heart. I'm not offering you a formula this morning, but in one way I am, and that is to don't let bitterness dwell in your heart and don't let resentment continue to stay there. You forgive. And you go on and you look to the Lord. And the Bible says that when your ways please the Lord, He will cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. God can cause relationships that have been severed. And I'm not even here to try to decide who was right or who was wrong the most. The most important thing is that God wants to heal hurt and severed relationships. And the Bible is full of stories of God healing damaged relationships. And we have many of them as examples in the Bible. The relationship that was damaged between Joseph and his brothers, it got healed. There was the relationship that was between Jacob and Esau. It got to be a bad relationship. And yet, God restored that. And I want to encourage you today, God will help you to restore damaged relationship. There was the relationship between the prodigal son and his father, and how it warms our heart to read of how they both came together. And yet, it doesn't always work out that way. There's the story of David and his son Absalom, and how the relationship got damaged. I would like to say that relationship, it came about. I can't say that when I read the scriptures. For we find that David kept resentment in his heart towards his son Absalom. And Absalom, though he had bad motives on reasons he wanted to see his father, but David does write in the Psalms, knowing the importance of it, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But in order to keep the relationship from getting bad, maybe we could look at the scriptures for some understanding. Do you remember when Abram, and I'm just talking because I'm trusting while I'm talking, the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you at the same time. Abram had a nephew that he loved named Lot. And the Bible says that the servants of Lot and the servants of Abraham began to have strife. They both wanted the ground for their animals, and that tension had a way of working up the ladder to where Abraham was wise enough to know, look, I can see that we're about to have a bad relationship, and I don't want that. And so he talked to Lot and said, listen, there's enough land for everyone. You decide what land you want. And so Lot picked the well-watered plains. But my point is this, that he was there to ward off before the relationship gets bad. And I want to encourage you to please listen to the Holy Spirit. Please be a person of prayer. Please be a person that is mindful of your relationship. And if you sense that, and I really feel this from the Lord right now, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants relationships severed. And God comes to heal and to bring unity. But would you please listen to the Holy Spirit? He will give you wisdom to know how to act, to ward off before the relationship gets bad. So please be people of prayer. My wife and I are leaving Monday to go see our daughter, as I mentioned, and her husband, Aaron, and our grandson, Brocky. You know why I'm excited about going, and my wife is excited about going? Because I want to enjoy the relationship. I want to play with my grandson. I want to just have fun. I've already told him I know a place I'm going to hide. He won't be able to find me. But my heart warms at relationship. I hope yours does. You will never be happier in life than you are able to get along with the loved ones that God has brought into your life. It takes work. It does take effort from the Lord, and the greatest joys you're going to have are going to come out of relationship with people, not out of things. I know we're giving gifts, but it isn't the gift that really does it. It's the heart and the motive behind it that you're grateful, and I thank you for your gifts that you gave. And so it is relationship. God doesn't want to have a business with you. He wants to have a relationship. A business turns into religion. A relationship turns into love and a heart, and the heart and deep calleth unto deep. You know God wants to be your friend. Jesus said, I have called you friends. And He wants to be your friend. The Holy Spirit wants to be your guide. God wants to be your Father. And Christmas is all about God sending His Son to restore the relationship with man that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Because in that garden, when sin came, it severed the relationship. It'll never be the same again. But God said, no, I'm going to restore that relationship. And He sent His Son. And this year, this time of year, we celebrate Him sending His Son. He did that to have a relationship with you. He loves you. He cares for you. And I pray that you'll realize God loves you and wants to have a relationship that is so intimate. It's as intimate as you will allow it to be. I've told the story before, but I close with one time I was feeling insecure. I was wondering, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I pleasing God? Because, Lord, You said concerning Joseph, he's highly favored. You said, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Thou art highly favored. Lord, am I favored of You? And I did this, and I don't recommend you to do it, but I did it. I said, Lord, if I found favor with You, would You let me tomorrow find an old clothespin? And that'll be a sign that I found favor. You say, well, don't you already know that from the Word? Yes. I already knew it from the Word, but I need all I can get. And I literally prayed that way. The next day, I remember I was looking everywhere to find a clothespin. It's not being fair. That night, I went to prayer, and I said, Lord, I didn't find a clothespin, but I'll give You one more chance, like I'm going to give Him another chance. And the next day, I forgot about the prayer. And I was working on a building and taking off these boards. And as the 2x4s went up, and as I'm removing the boards, I'm finding insulation in the walls. I remember reading about Willie Mays. And here this paper was 1959. And talking about Willie Mays. And I thought, wow. But at the top, I see the top of a jar. And I'm jumping up to try to get what's in that. What did they put in this wall that they've buried now for the last 50 years? And as I reached up, I happened to tip that jar over. I was afraid the jar was going to fall on this wonderful head of mine. And so I knelt down to cover myself when the jar just happened to tip over. and it was full of old clothespins. And they began to rain on me and land on my head and my shoulders. And I responded a little quicker than I did to the sign on the steps. I started crying and just thanking the Lord. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I have found favor with you. And you know how you know you have favor with the Lord? It's when you come and receive His Son, Jesus Christ. And when you accept Him as your personal Savior, and you live for Him, and you walk with Him. And many of our hymnals, and Debbie, would you come, they are based out of that relationship. And, oh, I could go on, and I'll spare you, but, oh, how we sing, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share. Or we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. And she's wondering, what in the world am I going to play? He's all over the board. And I always am all over the board. I hope at this time, at Christmas, you'll let your relationship with God be strong. Maybe you've wandered away from the Lord. Maybe you know Him, but you haven't been living for Him. Can I encourage you to come home and to let His love for you? You know when you're hard if you're living for Him. But I pray that as I've been talking, if you'll be honest, the Holy Spirit has maybe been drawing you. He always does. He loves us. And I pray today that at this Christmas and 2015, this new year that is soon to be upon us, I pray you make Jesus your best friend. Would you stand with me as we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, I thank you that what a friend we have in Jesus. Lord, relationships we have with one another, those are the true riches. The relationship I have with you, Father, and through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, we're to glorify you. And that happens best when there's a relationship. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, if you'd say, I know the Lord, but I want my relationship to be even better, would you let the Lord see your hand? Say, Lord, I want to know you better. Father, that's a prayer of all of us. It was a prayer of Paul that I might know Him. Lord, I pray you bless your people. Help us, Lord, this year to enjoy one another. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit help remind us to come against things that would destroy these relationships. I pray, Lord, that we give room for our friends and loved ones. Give them room to fail and focus on the good points. You're the one that changes them, not us. Oh, remind us of that. Lord, I pray your blessings on your people. And when we exchange gifts, may I get the very best gift. Amen. God bless you. And we do hope that you'll join us for some good fellowship and food. That'll probably start right now. At least 5-minute break.